I was telling Amy, and Amy had a very good laugh about this, that my very first teenage love was in Saltover. I think it was in Standard 7. We were sort of sneaking around, and my very first romantic kiss was in Saltover, and it was not very romantic and a very romantic place, but it was in the subway station of Saltover station. I used to go home to Belleville on a Friday, and she kissed me, and that will remain with me for a very, very long time. But Saltover is a suburb in Cape Town located near Table Bay, to the east of Cape Town Central Business District area, and Saltover is actually served by a railway station of the same name. It's noted for its association with the clothing and textile industry in the past, and the name Saltover is a translation from the Dutch, which is Soutrivier. But let me not tell you about Soutrivier or Salt River. Let Lufty Omar, who is the chairman of the Saltover Heritage Committee, chat to you about Saltover. Lufty, a very good morning to you, and welcome to Cape Talk.
Thank you for inviting me, Zane.
The prior establishment of this particular community within Cape Town, the area was first of all inhabited, and I hope I'm going to say this correctly, the Goringkwa Khoikhoi clan, and in 1510 it was the scene of a battle of Saltover between the Portuguese and the Goringkwa, and it then became Saltover. Talk to us about Saltover and its heritage, because if I just think about it, there's the Central Hotel used to be on the corner. There's obviously a good old butchery has been there for over 40, 45 years. There is Saltover Main Road. There was the Bioscope on the corner. I cannot remember what the Bioscope was called, but it was on the corner before you go into Observatory. And then sort of on the border of Observatory and Saltover the Lion Match Factory. So chat to us about the history and the heritage of Saltover.
Okay. So let me just start off by saying that the Saltover Heritage Society is quite new. We started in 2018, and we launched our Heritage Society on Heritage Day in September 2018. So our role we see as like preserving the memory and the community voices of Saltover. And why do we think it's important that, you know, we preserve this memory and this community voice? Because we feel that it would be of benefit to Cape Town and in fact to the entire South Africa, because we have a beautiful history and you know, these stories we don't hear, you know, quite often. So it's not in our history books. And like you've mentioned, the 1510 battle, which was the, you know, where the indigenous people defeated the Spanish Almeida, you know, and that is an important point in our history that needs to be highlighted. So Saltover being one of the oldest suburbs in Cape Town, we feel that, you know, we need to bring forth the history of Saltover, and we feel like, you know, history is not only about the past, but in fact history is really a study of the future, you know. And like George Santayana said, that those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So, you know, we need to highlight our history. And in fact, the history of the people of Saltover. So we have various projects. In fact, when we launched, we our first program was drawing up a people's history timeline. And this timeline spans about 10 meters, you know, physically. So people come every year on Heritage Day, and they come and put their highlights onto the timeline. So the timeline is like an interactive tool to spark memories of the past and also conversations about the future of Saltover. Mm. Another project is also the Oral History Project. And, you know, I must share with you like the stories, you know, like you shared the story now of the Palace Bioscope, which was situated on Albert and Spencer Road. In fact, you know, opposite there was also a takeaways. And it's renowned for its salomis and so on, good food. So people would often smuggle food from there into the Palace Bioscope. Yeah. So talking about our oral history project, you know, we feel that stories you know, and true stories can, especially, you know, from personal experiences, bring learning to life, you know. And one of the stories I can share with you, talking about the Palace Bioscope. In fact, another project is the coffee table book project, where we gathering stories, and we will then publish it into a book. We're gathering pictures for our community archives, which we also will put into this book. So let me just read you the story about the Palace Bioscope. So this was a story that was submitted, and it goes like this. He says, I was 14 years old. A Western was playing at the Palace Bioscope. It was a Friday afternoon, 4 p.m. show, and a few of us bunked confirmation class. And while we were enjoying the show, a big notice appeared on the screen. And the notice read, "Will the boys of St. Luke's confirmation class please come to the foyer? Father Peterson is waiting for you in the foyer." We could not escape, because that was the only way out. And more embarrassingly, the lights went on, so all could see. The manager and father's son were good buddies. We had to go study the catechism, and we could only go home that evening if we got more than 70%. We never bunked our catechism class again. So that's just one story, you know, of the many stories. Yeah. So this was at St. Luke's Church, which is also one of the oldest churches in Salt River.
Chatting this morning to Lufty Omar, chairman of the Salt River Heritage Society. And if you have stories to share about Salt River, you can give us a call on 021-446-0567. The WhatsApp line is available for you on 072-567-1567. It is important to document this history, because at a particular stage, and, you know, history gets lost. When I started looking for history on Ashley Creel, for instance, and I had a chat to Hassan Tabada, you know, that history is lost. That history is not documented. Nobody took the time to actually sit down and write it down for, you know, the future of our children, for the future of our history books, for the future of generations to come, you know, going forward. Like I mentioned to Lester this morning, about forced removals in District 6 when that was happening in the 1967. Cape Malays and Coloureds could buy houses in Salt River, but the Indians could not, and the Indians were allowed. The Indians were allowed to live in Salt River, provided they buy or rent a house attached to a corner grocery shop.
Yes. Yes. So in fact, we also, like, you know, doing the histories of the schools, of the corner shops, of the sports bodies, of the, you know, all the kind of organizations in Salt River, the churches and the mosques. So it's a huge project, you know, it's taking us quite a while. When we launched in 2018, 2019, we just, you know, registered the organization with Heritage Western Cape. So we are a registered conservation body, because we felt it's important that, you know, all the building development taking place in Salt River, we had to have a say in this, and we had to comment on this, and we had to try and reach out to the developers to work with the Heritage Society and to work with the community. In fact, during COVID, we had to change our whole kind of function, and we then went on to find out, you know, who's in need of food and groceries and so on. So we then interviewed people to find out, you know, and we found that a lot of families were in distress. So we raised money to support these families. But in this conversation and in these interviews, we found that, you know, our people are vulnerable, because there are a lot of old people living in Salt River, and they are, you know, and they stay, you know, first, second, third generation in the same house. So, you know, how do they build onto the house so that, you know, the family can stay in the houses and so on? They get offered money, and they easily sell off, you know, and then they're forced to move out into outlying areas, which is far from their their workplaces. So this is gentrification, what we feel that this is the new economic force removal. You know, we have the force removal in El Paso, but now there's a new force removal called the economic force removal, which our community is the most vulnerable because of the age of our people in the area.
I was going to ask you, with the entire gentrification of the Woodstock area, whether that was also happening in the Salter area, and people are buying up homes. They are being offered quite handsome amounts of money in order to buy up those homes, because the new buyers realize that this is a developing area. Salterville needs that one little push, because, you know, up until the late 1980s, prominent industries also included the textile and clothing manufacturing industry, you know, but due to the influx of sort of cheaper and imported clothing, many of those clothing factories closed down. Are we looking at redeveloping in that area? Because even the president went to go and buy himself a suit at his second Sona. He mentioned that he bought his suit out in the Salterville area.
Yes. Like I said, I mean, the heritage site is not against development, but what we want is that, you know, the development must be in tangent with the community's interests. And this is important, you know. That is why we say we need to preserve our community voice as well, because often this voice, the communities are not consulted. In fact, you know, let me mention an example of a development that took place opposite the mosque. Now, the mosque has been there for over 100 years, and the call to prayer, which is another project of ours, is the intangible cultural heritage of our community. You know, the practices, the traditions, the oral traditions, the knowledge spaces, the healing traditions, our foods, our beliefs, our cultural practices. Now, the call of prayer is one of our cultural practices, the intangible cultural heritage of Salterville. And then when the call went off, a development that took place opposite the mosque, a resident complained, and then the police dropped a notice to say, look, you can't, you know, do the call to prayer. And then we had a meeting with the city to say, you know, how can this happen, you know? So again, the developer did not take notice of the cultural heritage of our community. So this is important, and you know, this caused a huge uproar in our community. How can they stop the call to prayer? You know, you can't move into area and say this is noise pollution, and it's part of a noise bill. You know, in the city of Cape Town. You know,
we are finding that all over Cape Town these days. You know, even in the area of Brackenfell, if you go down to North Pine, we had a similar experience in that. So we're finding it, but I think there's also a halfway. There's a measurement that needs to be found in this particular, you know, discussion about the call to prayer. But we've got a WhatsApp message that's just come in, and it says, and we had the wash baths in Spencer Road, and the lady would shout, Klavas, because there was a long queue. I've got a voice note on 0725671567, Lufty.
Hello, Zane. It's Beryl here. Let me tell you, the person who just spoke, he forgot about the Baijo Bioscope. My Aunt Alice, she was Chinese, and my cousin Ramato and Maria, and I lived in Crawford, and then I would go there every weekend, and we never missed one session or series of Zorro. We used to go and queue at the Baijo every Saturday. So don't forget the Baijo Bioscope. Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless. And we have beautiful memories, the three of us, still here today.
There we go. That's memories of the Baijo Bioscope and the long queues of the Baijo Bioscope. Are the valleys still in Salterville cutting hair?
Yes. Well, the family is still around. But unfortunately, they closed down. Because most of the brothers passed away, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's another project. I mean, the barbers in our area, their history and their contribution to our communities. There's still a barber there, but it's not run by the
Valleys anymore. Lufty Omar chatting to us this morning, Chairman at Salt River Heritage Society. I would be amiss if I would not chat to you about the Salt River Market, which used to have a fantastic fish market for fresh fish and, of course, lots of produce. A number of the restaurants in and around Cape Town used to go and buy from the Salt River Market and get their fresh produce from there. That has been rezoned for a different development in terms of social housing by the city.
Yes, apparently it's been handover to community for social housing, and one of the issues that we have with the development there is that the Salt River Railway Institute, you know, that's also one of the oldest places in Salt River. And a lot of VC is attached to that, you know. A lot of political meetings were held there. Most of the weddings took place there, you know. And like I said, it's attached to the Salt River Market. So the development will probably incorporate that. But what we're calling for is that the Salt River Railway Institute, or what they call now Salt River Community Hall, to be declared a heritage site. So we are moving towards that, you know, and we want that to be declared a heritage site because of the significance in our community.
Lufty Omar chatting to us on 0214460567. If you have any memories of the Salt River area and anything striking to tell us about Salt River, you can also chat to us on 0725671567. Two things very quickly. Are you engaging with the city about the area? Because, I mean, I'd love the area to be protected and a number of sort of things in the area be protected, because I think on Tennyson Street, if you go straight up, halfway up Tennyson Street, Ivan Achedin comes from the Salt River, or the late Ivan Achedin came from the Salt River area, was a schoolmaster out at Spesbona High School, but he was also involved with one of the Muslim radio stations. But what a brilliant man. Are we sort of protecting his heritage too?
Yes, in fact, his daughter is on our executive committee, so he's very much, you know, part of our history. We also, you know, have a what we call a community art program, and we use a public art to commemorate our story, our histories, and so on. So we have various murals in Salt River. In fact, we have the let me just mention the Desiree Ellis one, you know. In fact, that's probably the only female footballer in the world that's being, you know, that has a mural dedicated to her, because she was born in Salt River. In fact, it's in the street, just in Fenton Road. And if you look straight up, you see a primary school, Dryden Street Primary School. And she also attended Salt River High. So yeah, so the Banyana coach, Desiree Ellis, she's on one of the murals. And then we also have a human rights mural where we kind of dedicated to various people in Salt River. Judge Raj Desai. In fact, the mural is located opposite to where he was born and stayed, his family home. And then Anwar Nagia, whose grandfather was from Salt River, he's of the Homer State, but he also belonged to the Salt River, Homer State, Woodstock Civic Association.